Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Pork Chop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds. To believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. And I'm always so grateful to God for the gifts that He brings our way. And today is one of those special days. And but first, I'd like to go ahead and start us off with asking Him to really be over this next hour. It's a very important hour, and I'd like to invite Him to give us the words, have the wisdom to tell you, the listeners, what you need to hear. So with that in mind, if you would please join me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You. Thank You that You are God. Thank You that You love us so much that You did not withhold any good thing from us. And You said to ask, and if it be Thy will, it shall be done. And Lord, we ask that You give us the words to say, give us the wisdom, Lord, to share what You want shared for all the listeners to see. Heavenly Father, please bless Alice Linehan, Please bless the Can I See movement. Please bless this upcoming conference. And, Lord, just empower all of us that are trying to help these children, trying to pave the way so that, Lord, the future generation will have a life better than ours, Lord, not worse. We'll have an America better than what we've had, Lord, not worse. So, Lord, we ask that you have mercy, just as you had mercy upon the founding fathers when George Washington bent his knee and bowed his head and asked you for help, Lord. You came again and again in so many times of need and performed miracles, Lord. And we have benefited tremendously. So, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being able to come before you today and ask you to be over this conversation. We thank you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And hi, Alice Linehan.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on.
I'm just smiling from ear to ear because, you know, we used to talk a lot more. You've gotten really busy, and I've gotten off track, too, and the things I've wanted to do. And one of them really is, you know, trying to keep up with you. Call you at least once a month and ask you to be on the show and let us know, you know, what you're doing because I'm just, you know, just so impressed and so thankful that you are in the fight. And I consider you a national leader because your ideas impact not just your state, but impact the rest of us, you know, all over the country. So I'm just so grateful. And God laid in my heart to give you a call, and you're available. And look what's going to happen because you're going to tell us about something that has been laid into your heart. So if you don't mind, Alice, let's start off with letting you tell a little bit about yourself and what is going on.
Well, thank you so much. I'm a mom, basically. A ticked off mom, I like to say sometimes.
I'm right there with you.
Right. We've got three wonderful children, and actually I'm excited because this month, later in the month, my husband and I are celebrating our 20-year wedding anniversary. So
congratulations, Alice.
Thank you. And the last 5 years have been quite interesting because I've become this crazy radical mom who's out with other crazy radical moms and grandmas fighting the good fight for our children and for the next generation. So I'm involved with two organizations. One is Voices Empower, E-M-P-O-W-E-R, where we're training and taking on the issues to help everyday citizens to become the media, just like you've done with this great radio show. And then I also work with an organization called Women on the Wall. And we take on three major issues, education, immigration, and national security. And actually, immigration and national security are clearly connected to the education of our next generation. And when you look at Common Core and this philosophy of education, it affects all these other issues that are so vitally important for the future of our nation. And so we are really focused on education and how to eliminate the Common Core philosophy of education in our country. And we became aware 2 weeks ago that the National PTA Association, the Parent Teacher Association, will hold their national convention in Austin, Texas, a state that said no to Common Core, even passed a law, HB 462, that said no to Common Core. And they're bringing their national convention to Austin, June 19th through the 22nd. And their keynote speaker for that conference is Arne Duncan, Secretary of Education. And Arne Duncan, along with the National PTA, are some of the chief cheerleaders of the Common Core State Standards. And he will be their headliner. And if you look at their convention and start going through the different sessions that they're planning to have, they're all about training these PTA moms and dads to go back into their local community and be the advocates for the Common Core state standards. And another very concerning issue that they will be covering, the National PTA has had a document created by the Harvard Family Research Project called Breaking New Ground, Data Systems Transform Family Engagement in Education. And our friend Meryl Hope wrote about this in a great article, The Top Common Core Cheerleader, Arnie Duncan, Coming to Texas, where she says that basically, in a nutshell, they're going to be training these moms and dads and getting them on board with the value of data collection of their children. And so with Women on the Wall, Rebecca Forrest, who's president of Women on the Wall, and it's kind of funny, we have a radio show on Thursdays, and we got done with the show, and we were talking about Arnie Duncan coming, and Rebecca said, well, we need to have a counter convention. And usually I'm the one that comes up with these crazy ideas, and Rebecca has to tell me no. And so for her to come up with it and then for me to go, oh, gosh, I think we have to do this, I didn't have anyone to tell me no. This is too big. And so we decided we were going to take it on and hold a counter convention to the PTA National Convention. And, God works in wonderful ways, because I was driving home with that from that radio show after talking to Rebecca, and I was really doubting myself and saying, this is too big, you can't take this on, this is, what's Rick, my husband, going to say? What are you doing now?
Oh, no.
Trying, diving into more of our savings to fight this battle. And so I was really doubting myself, and I got home, and I had an email from a mom in Frisco, Texas, who was desperate. She said, I don't know you, but I found you online, and I know that you're fighting Common Core in Texas, and we know that this Common Core is flooding into Frisco ISD, and I'm the PTA president, and I don't know what to do about it. How can you help me? And I thought, okay, God, there's PTA moms who are against, and they want to have a voice. And so that was kind of my, okay, let's put this together. So we now have, we've publicly announced as of Wednesday night in our conference call that we're going to have the Can I See the Solution Counter Conference on June 20th and 21st in Austin, Texas, in downtown Austin, and we're going to be right in the heart of their PTA convention, giving the opposite message. And we are just blessed, because we started making calls, and we have secured and confirmed Dr. Sandra Stotsky as one of our major speakers, who many of you may or may not know. Dr. Stotsky was hired by David Coleman with the College Board, and he's one of the masterminds behind the Common Core. He hired her to validate the Common Core national standards in English and language arts. And she said no, she would not validate them, because after looking through them, she said it would put our children in America behind at least 2 to 3 years in English and language arts. So we wanted to have someone who was on the level of Arnie Duncan, who's opposed to this, and she has agreed to come in. We also have Jane Robbins, who, Diana, I know you've had on your show many times, who's wonderful, with the American Principles Project, and she is going to be coming in. And then we also have Dr. Peg Lessig from Founded on Truth, who I love to tell the story of Dr. Lessig when she's speaking and someone asked her, why is it all these women who are out fighting this battle against outcome-based education? And she said, you know, a man will die for his child. He will stand in the line of fire, but a mother will kill. And that's the instinct that we want to get into with these moms convention is for them to understand, because so many don't know. You don't know what you don't know. And these PTA moms don't know the big story of this federal takeover of our education system. So we've got them. We've also got Nikki Hayes, who's written the story of John Saxon about Saxon Math, which is actually a piloted and proven successful math curriculum that's not being taught in our schools, that should be taught in our schools. We also have Jenny White from Oklahoma that will be coming in talking to us. We also have Henry Burke, who I know you've had on your show as well. He's a contributor to educationviews.org and done extensive research on the financial aspects of Common Core to all 50 states, and so he'll be speaking. We also have a friend of ours, Lisa Benson, out of Arizona, who's got a great radio show, Lisa Benson for National Security. And we will be connecting the dots with this Common Core philosophy of education and how it is desensitizing our children to the threat of Sharia coming into our own communities. And through interfaith dialogue and the just the desensitizing of our children and us to the threat of Sharia law. So she'll be another speaker as well. So we're just excited about this. We're excited to be able to partner with folks in all 50 states because this is the national convention to be able to work with people, and if you've got folks coming into Austin for this conference, we want to make sure that they know that there is an opportunity to come across the street and come to another conference where they will hear truth, and we're willing to speak truth to power, and that's what this is all about.
Well, Alice, you know, you can tell your friend Becca this is a God idea. I'm so glad that God gave her this, and she's taking it on, and you know who you are, Alice. When you hear a good idea, you can't stop it, you know. You can't get away from it. And this was a brilliant idea, and I mean, because really the audacity of these people to use an organization that was set up to really help parents, to be able to help the teachers, and the system, because they want the best for their own children. So it's really using a system that is should be anti-Common Core if they just knew the truth. And so I think this idea is a God idea, because, you know, once these mothers find out the truth, you talking about mad, ticked off, they're going to be just like you, just like you and me.
Right.
I mean, they're not going to be held back. So.
Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, and I want to let folks know, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are like us who have been connecting the dots, and sometimes we feel like we're speaking to the choir because we talk to all the same people. But this is an opportunity to reach out to those moms who are just living their life daily to do what's right for their children and keep their families head above water financially, and they're there for their children, but they're not politically active. They don't understand the big picture of what's happening. And so we've got a program that it's Sponsor a Mom. And so if there are folks out there, if there are organizations out there that want to sponsor a mom to be able to come to this convention, we want to be able to get folks there. And so for organizations that want to, for every 5 moms that you sponsor, 2 of their husbands get in free. Because as we know biblically that our husbands are the leader of our homes, and so we don't want to exclude them, but we were laughing about the acronym of Women on the Wall being WOW, and if you turn that upside down, it's MOM. So we want to focus on the moms, but definitely not leave out the dads. So that program is out there, and if there's anyone who's interested in that, we would sure love to talk to them.
Oh, that is so perfect. Now, you didn't think of that when you first did Women on the Wall, did you? Wow. Did you?
No,
That has to be God.
That's another God thing.
Wow. Perfect. And see, Al, doesn't that make you feel good because you know he is ordering your steps? You cannot help it. You know, it's just like the founding fathers. I really feel like we are fighting tyranny all over again, like the founders did. And, you know, I thank God I'm so blessed with Miss Barbara Moore coming on the show, you know. And one of the things that I've heard from her is, you know, when they were on the Mayflower, I mean, these parents really were trying to get away from Holland because they saw that their children were getting away from what they wanted them to be raised, you know, in, the surroundings, the culture. And we find that's why they came here, a lot of them, not every one of them, but a lot of them. They wanted something better for their next generation, for the children. And so they made an investment. They sacrificed. And one of the things that really moves me is the idea of, you know, it just petrifies me to be in a big ocean. But you can imagine they don't have all the comforts that we have in luxury liners. Go on these big ships with a big amount of people, very uncomfortable, you know, not knowing where you're going to be, how are you going to live for the next year. What a great bunch of ifs for them, unknown, but yet they were willing to sacrifice all for their children.
Right.
And to get away from what they knew was coming, tyranny. A tyranny of the mind, and now we're seeing it. You know, we're seeing tyranny again. I mean, you know, thank God that God came through for us, you know, in Great Britain, the biggest power in the world at that time. You know, we could not have done it without his hand and the many miracles that, you know, you don't read about in textbooks anymore, but it used to be there. You know, like George Washington getting shot and, you know, bullet holes in his jacket. You know, those were stories that children used to read and could see the hand of God. And the forming of this nation, they don't see that anymore. But we do see a mindset that is very anti-God, anti-patriotism, really. And as you well know, when you've seen that in the social studies book, because really Texas had Common Core before they knew that, you know, before they knew it. And the books that y'all were, you know, that was being used for your children were very anti-patriotic. I remember the instance where those that killed the people on 9/11 were called, of all things, freedom fighters. So really for the mom, the PTA mom that's so on fire to want to raise a very patriotic child, right, a very involved child, it would just horrify them to know that this is the plans for them. But you know it full well because you know about Belinda Darling Hammond and what they're doing and how they're involved in Common Core. Would you mind sharing a bit of that? Because you knew it at the very beginning.
Right. When you start connecting the dots with, for instance, in states that said no to Common Core, we look at progressives, and it's not like they try one pathway and then, you know, it works or it doesn't work and then they go away. They have plan A, B, C, and D. And so in Texas, we had C-Scope, which came in, and we had a grandmother, Janice Van Cleve, who was a retired teacher, and she was tutoring some students, and she said, "Well, can I see your textbook?" And they said, "Oh, we don't have textbooks. Our school uses C-Scope." And so she went up to find out, well, what is this C-Scope thing? And C-Scope, you'll hear about the crazy lessons, you know, the Boston Tea Party and all of that. But really, C-Scope was not just about the lessons. It was about a system that they needed to put in place. And that system contained three major elements. You had your scope and sequence, which was your time management and control system for teachers. You had your lessons, like the crazy Boston Tea Party lesson, and then you had the assessments. The assessments weren't to test the children on knowledge based on if the teacher taught it in a direct fashion. It was an assessment really to evaluate the teacher to make sure they were using this, as Donna Gardner would say, type 2 common core philosophy of education, where everything is subjective. So it's the philosophy and the professional development of the teachers. Well, when you looked at the documents and started digging into C-Scope, we had a PowerPoint slide that said professional development, Linda Darling Hammond. And so I went to one of the service centers, education service centers, because we have 20 of them across the state of Texas that service our school districts. And I was talking to a curriculum director, and they were pushing and telling me how wonderful C-Scope was. And I said, look, I have this PowerPoint slide that says Linda Darling Hammond, professional development. Did Linda Darling Hammond write C-Scope? And she said, no, 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 you don't get it. This was written for Texas teachers, by Texas teachers, but they're using Linda Darling Hammond's philosophy of education. And I said, and you're okay with that? Because I've seen video of Linda Darling Hammond speaking at the UN. I've seen books that Linda Darling Hammond has written where she believes in using education to equalize America in the world. Is that what you're telling me you're doing? And she was kind of shocked because they don't know. They don't understand who Linda Darling Hammond is, that she is friends with Bill Ayers, and that Bill Ayers was part of the Weather Underground that back in the 60s tried to bomb and terrorize America. And when they weren't successful back in the 60s by using violent means to take down the United States, they went into academia, and they became the experts in education in our university system across the country. And they have been training teachers. We all know that our university system across the country is very liberal and progressive. They've been training these people since the 60s. And so it's not by happenstance that this is happening. And so when you start connecting those dots and you see the similarities on a national level of Common Core to a state level, what we're seeing in C-Scope, you can't disguise it. I mean, the facts are there. You just have to lay in there out. I think it's interesting that the Common Core national standards are owned by the Governors Association, and they would say that it is state-led by the governors. Well, the Governors Association is not. It's a think tank nonprofit organization out of Washington, D.C. It wasn't state-led by the governors. And that association, nonprofit, was very well funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So when you connect that dot and then you look at that on a state level in Texas with C-Scope, C-Scope is a curriculum management system of control of our teachers to make sure that they're teaching with this Common Core philosophy of education. The copyright for that system is owned by the 20 education service centers that the directors of those service centers formed a nonprofit organization, and they hold the copyright. And they're distributing it into our districts. They got it into 875 districts in the state of Texas, and they said it was district-led. So you start connecting the dots, and you take it from a national level. How did they disseminate it? How did they get that into 45 states across our nation? Well, that's the same exact tactic and strategy of how they got C-Scope into 875 districts across the state of Texas. So when you connect the dots, I keep telling people, please, when I go talk to groups and organizations, will someone please humble me and prove me wrong? Will someone please stand up and prove to everyone in this room that this is not true? And that's not happened yet. So I'm still waiting because I really do want to go back to being, you know, a mom and not having to worry about this. But I don't believe that's the path that we're on. And you know, now's our time. As Reagan said in the intro, it was their time then, now it's our time now to stand up and fight for American exceptionalism, because that's the gift that God gave us. He gave us the gift of the Constitution so that we had the freedom to have an education of opportunity and the freedom to either to succeed or to fail. But that was our free will to do that. And if we don't have that freedom, we don't have that free will, we are controlled by a godless tyranny.
I think parental control, you know, which, you know, we've interviewed Charlotte Isabee, and you were on, and I have played that over and over where you got it at the end, just as we were getting it, you know, that
right.
Charlotte Isabee is almost screaming to everybody, get it. The bottom line is they want no elected school boards. You know, that's why they're
right.
telling you can have choice. You can have choice. You can have whatever you want, public school, charter school, you know, whatever. Vouchers, but what she keeps telling us is, you know, the bottom line for these people, and I remember reading that of Achieve, you know, Lou Gerstner, his plan is to get rid of those local school districts because they don't want elected school boards. They want to make people that think, oh, charter's the best way, you're going to be able to form the right school, and it's going to, you know, have public money. Well, the only thing is, that is the dream of Arne Duncan. He said it in his 2009 speech. That's why this Senate bill, or I can't remember if it's the House bill, or I think it's the House bill that's right now has passed the House. We have to watch, because the caveat in that is removing the caps on charters. They don't want elected school boards. They know it is in the way, and that's what's bad about Common Core, because you know, really, we have no elected school boards. It is copyrighted. And as your dear friend Merrill has told us, Merrill came from good old California where they have the best charter schools. But, you know, I have to say what has happened is every one of those charters, as Merrill has told us, is Common Core aligned. So for anybody in any state to think, I'm going to help form a wonderful charter, it's going to teach these kids, in a matter of years, you are going to see that school become Common Core aligned, and everything you fought for to remove Common Core is going to be in there, and you're not going to have a board to even fuss over anything. So, you know, we really need to wake up. But one of the things that we're dealing with right now is, you know, the assessments. And I know I heard Anita Hogue, and I love Peg Luksic.
you know, because they have got it. This is not about academics. And Anita Hogue was the first person, I think, to really win. I shouldn't say the first person because I think there was another case. But she did win a case against, using the PPRA. She might have been the first one, which is the Pupils Protection Rights Act. And why was it important for her to use that, and how could she win it? Well, the bottom line, and we have seen this in some schools have sent some paperwork to the children in Alabama that, hey, the PPRA does not apply because it does not involve any of, you know, these psychological stuff, right? Isn't
right.
that so far from the truth? Because that I almost want to be able to play the hearing of when they pass the PPRA. I think we need to find that. People need to get wind of the truth. That's what's dangerous about these assessments. That's why the PPRA gives the parents the right to see what is in these testing, because unfortunately with Common Core, they are very psychosocial. We already had a student say that, you know, it was asking something about to talk about the latest argument or fight that he had with a friend. Well, what's that got to do with 2+2, you know?
Right.
That got to do with academics? And really that opens up a lot of things about a child, the child's family, the surroundings, you know. And so it's very dangerous. And I know you're seeing that also that with, you know, with a C-scope, there was a lot of bending the mind of the child to think a certain way. I know even here in Alabama, social studies, Common Core social studies books have been adopted, every one of them. We spoke of them, so we don't want this and that, but they ignored us. The school board did, state board. And one of the questions I remember reading in a book was to look at the First Amendment, look at the rights in it, and choose which one would you rather give up. Now, why should a child be even made to think that way? And that's what you saw, some of the things that you saw, Alice, unfortunately, you know, with some of the textbooks.
Right, right. Well, and it's interesting. I've been talking to different candidates and elected officials, and they're trying to figure out this big picture. You know, they've been left in the dark, as so many of us had for years as this was happening. And I was asked by a campaign manager, does the adoption of Common Core require more testing of students than is beyond what's already required? And my response was, look, it's not about testing. It's about the issue of where are these assessments coming from. It's not about a teacher giving a test based on what she's decided to teach in that classroom and testing the kids on the knowledge that she has given them. If it's 2+2=4, she can give them a test with that problem on it and know if they have that knowledge. She's testing on that knowledge. That's knowledge-based testing. What the Common Core philosophy is, or what the federal, what they're using as the key for the federal takeover of our education, is outcome-based testing. So the assessments are developed by an outside source, by PARC or Smarter Balance, and they're using it to capture data, but they're controlling the content or the agenda of what our children are being taught. They're learning based on, and Dr. Lexic did a brilliant job in that one video, Common Core Results in Behavior Change Without Protest. That's what they're trying to get, is to change our children's behavior, not give our children a education of opportunity so they have the choice to either succeed or fail. That's what this is all about. It's behavior change of a society. It's fundamentally changing what America looks like and changing our children, frankly, into global citizens versus Mary Bowen. We were in Houston, and she was talking about this, and she said, no longer do our children have an identity. You know, I'm a Texan. I'm from Argyle, Texas. I'm a Girl Scout. I'm a Boy Scout. Those kind of identifiers that make a child or a person who they are with pride. But they're now no longer those things. They're just identified as a global citizen. That's a scary path that we're putting our children on, and frankly, the next generation.
Well, and that makes sense when you look at the book that I was talking about, and really this book, mm-hmm. I think, was a National Geographic supplement, social studies supplement for high schoolers. And it's so funny because, I mean, I look at the quote of some of the words in there, and it's really looking at National Geographic's mission. What business have we got issuing a book to students about a mission of a magazine?
Right.
You know?
Right.
National Geographic.
Right.
What? And, I mean, I have a picture of that, and I need to repost that for people to get wind of what I'm saying. They really need to be looking, and that's why it's important. I love the movement, Can I See, because we do need to be looking. The only problem is, you know, they're taking away the textbooks. It makes it hard for us to look, and it's such a fight. So, but if you don't mind,
well,
I love the PTA idea. So, oh, go ahead and say that and then go into, you know, what you're trying to do, which is wake up those that's not a part of the choir. So.
Right, right. Well, and one of the ways that we believe that we can give the gift of American exceptionalism to the next generation, to our children, is for us as moms and dads, as grandparents, as taxpayers, as aunts and uncles, to go into the schools, whether they're public, private, charter, and say, actually now four things. We used to just have three questions. We've added a, but we want you to say, can I see? Can I see what you are teaching my child? Can I see how you're teaching my child? I want to see the teacher manuals. I want to know where the teachers in this school are being trained. What is their professional development? Are they using outcome-based education, or are they using knowledge-based education? How are you teaching my child? The third one is, who can I see who is financially benefiting from the curriculum that on which my child's teacher is being evaluated on? And then the fourth one that we have added is, can I see, especially for our public schools, can I see what information or mandate is, what is required of you as a school district or as a school to provide to the state, and what information are you required to provide to the federal government? And why are you required to give that information, that private information? Why are you required? What does the government need that information for? And that, I think, sometimes in asking the questions, a fire, basically. We want parents to understand why are they collecting this information. Now, what you see in the PTA conference, what the narrative that they're trying to give these parents is, you need to give us this information so that we can do research and be able to provide you and your child with the best possible education. The problem with that is, why is my child a research guinea pig for you? And why are my tax dollars paying for my child to be a research, you know, a guinea pig? There are piloted and proven successful curriculum products that are out there, like Saxon Math. the old Saxon math. The newer forms of Saxon math, they're starting to align to the Common Core. But the original Saxon math that John Saxon put together and Dr. Stan Hartzler put together, those programs, math programs, were piloted and proven. And I love what Donna Garner says. Her husband said one time, you know, the astronauts, the guys that put the spaceship on the moon, they learn math on a big cheap tablet. Why are we giving our children up to research and not educating them with an education of opportunity with piloted and proven programs? Why are they guinea pigs? I don't think we should allow that to happen.
Wow.
So that
you have That's, taught us a lot,
you know,
right there. Great question, Alice. And two, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Well, and that's really what we want to use this conference for, is to get people asking the questions and to go in. And, you know, a lot of these people in education, a lot of our teachers, our principals, they're great people that got into this for the right reasons originally. But what's happened is through professional development, they go to these conferences, and it's like any industry. You go to a conference, and it's great. You're networking. You're having fun. They make it a cheerleader, rah-rah thing. And you buy into the illusion that this is good for our children. But it is not, and like we've seen from so many of the great people who are willing to speak out, you know, Meg Norris out of Georgia, the teacher that quit teaching so that she could speak out about the harms, what she saw these children going as guinea pigs, that these children are not developmentally ready to do the kind of things that the Common Core standards are asking. And so we're actually, this is child abuse on our children, and we're allowing it to happen. And as my friend Mel Moss says, basically we're funding our own demise, and we're allowing them to use our children to do it with our tax dollars. So it's time to step up and my prayer is that this conference is an opportunity to reach those moms and give them the information, stir that instinct, as Dr. Peg Lessig rightly says, that mama bear instinct to kill, not to go out to kill, but to go out and protect our children and ask these questions. And one of the great things that we've got that we're putting together is that we've got Volt Media that is coming, and they are going to videotape the entire conference, all of the sessions, all of the workshops, and then people will be able to leave the conference. They'll be able to purchase the little DVD box and take all of those speeches and all those workshops home with them, so that they can, in their own living room, have a bunch of, you know, moms over, a couple moms and dads over, and show them the speech, you know, by Dr. Stotsky. Give them the information and form their own, we've talked about it before, form their own communication team within their local community, so that they can take this information and spread it out and let their friends and neighbors know, and come up with a solution of their own community, how they take their own schools back, that they demand that they expose that they're trying to get rid of the local school board. And when you look at it right now, we have such an opportunity to educate our school board elected officials, to let them know you right now are the last line of defense for our children. We've got a local election going on in my little community in Argyle, Texas. We have five candidates running for local school board. And we had a candidate forum, and I asked the question, are you willing to be engaged to understand how the Common Core is coming into Texas, even though we passed HB 462 that said a law that says no to Common Core? And publicly, all five of those candidates agreed that they would be willing to be engaged in learning about Common Core. So then the next day was the first day of early voting. So I sent an email to all of them, and I said, well, today's the first day of early voting, and I'm really struggling because I asked all of you last night if you were willing to engage in this battle to understand how it's coming in, but I don't know each of you well enough to know which one is actually engaged. So let me share with you what you're up against. And I gave them links to a video of Jane Robbins testifying in front of the legislature about the data collection concern. I gave them the short video of Dr. Luxick talking about the assessments and the that I was talking about earlier. I sent them that information, and then I sent them information about Senate Bill 6 in Texas and House Bill 5 and how they were the pathways to Common Core. And I sent them that information, and I said, I hope that you'll call me back. And if you have any questions, I'm more than happy. Well, I heard from all five of them. None of them understood or knew what was happening. All of them now, no matter which one of those people gets elected, I know that they have publicly committed to be engaged in stopping this, to coming in, and I have told each of them, you are the last line of defense. You have the power to vote no when it comes to funding these curriculum products. You have the power to say no when we're building a new middle school and you have a design team that comes in and says, we need new 21st century learning and furniture on wheels so that we can create a classroom where the teacher is the facilitator instead of the teacher. I want you as a school board member to vote no, or to make sure that the design team that builds the middle school in Argyle, Texas, builds a classroom where the teacher is the authority figure and the teacher gives knowledge-based formation. You have the power to do that. And if we can replicate that where we're not where we're educating people who don't know instead of attacking people for being in education and going to these conferences and buying into all this propaganda, we need to educate them on why this is propaganda, why this is an illusion, and why we need to stop it. And I believe that local communities who have a local school board that is powerful and saying no to Common Core will be a great marketing tool, and the property values in those communities will go sky high. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Oh, are you there?
Oh, I'm here, Alice. I'm just talking away. I had muted myself. I was taking notes and everything. But I just love the plan, everything that you've said. So I was taking notes and trying to be quiet. But go ahead, if you don't mind, and talk about the event. I want them to hear about your plan.
Okay. Well, the event is June 20th and 21st. It's a Friday and Saturday. It's in Austin, Texas. And we, like I said, we have these great speakers, but we're also, we've got workshop plans, hands-on workshop, how to do exactly what I was talking about, those skills to create that communication team. We will have hands-on workshops. So it'll be talks by the experts and workshops to how to take that information into your local community and fortify it. We've got, if people want to go online, they can go to womenonthewall.org and they can register and come and join us. This is a national event. It's the national PTA. If you can't come and you want to sponsor a mom, let me know. And you can call me at 972-322-8313 or send me an email, alice@womenonthewall.org, and just be involved. And after this event, be involved as well and follow up and find the people that were there and help them in your local community. One of the things that we are working on is setting up these closed Facebook groups. We've got Alabama PTA members against Common Core. We've got Texas PTA members against the Common Core. And we're organizing in these closed Facebook groups. And the great thing about Facebook is everyday moms and dads and grandparents are on Facebook sharing, you know, pictures and photos and social things. This is a place that we can recruit those moms in and give them a safe place to talk about these issues and to educate them. And so we will have people who are on the ground from each state at the conference sharing information and videos and all of those things into these Facebook groups so that those people in the different states across the country who can't come down still have a role to play because they can follow it. They can be live tweeting as the event's going on. We've got the hashtag if people are on Twitter, and you can start following it now, the hashtag CanISee, and you can follow what's happening as this moves forward. So we need people on the ground in Austin, and then we need people online helping to spread the word that this is happening.
Well, thank you, Alice. It is, really, this is wonderful. This is better than, you know, I could have dreamed of. So I'm thanking you and Becca. Please extend her. I'm so grateful. It could not have come at a better time. You know, I think more people are awake, and this is going to ratchet it up monumentally, I believe, because, you know, you're having that meeting on the same time that they're having their meeting.
Right.
So, you know, we do need to not be preaching to the choir. I mean, the choir needs to get stronger, but the choir needs to be preaching outside the choir. So,
right.
You know, and really, I hate to see parents being used to hurt their own children. And that's something that most PTA parents do not realize is they're being set up to hurt their own child. As you said, Sandra Stotsky said these are not valid, you know. Thank God for Sandra Stotsky and Professor Milgram, you know, and their stand for truth. They've never wavered. They've always spoken. We're grateful for that. And you either, you know, you too, I mean, Alice, you have never wavered. And please extend our grateful hearts to your husband, your family, because I know it takes a lot. And but, you know, got to keep up the fight because it is for their future, you know. And I'm so grateful to live in the land of the free and home of the brave. And just like Martin Treptow, that Ronald Reagan talked about, you know, simple people like us, that's what America is for. It's for us to be able to live a life of freedom and really of opportunity in the land of the free. And you know, be exceptional, like a Ben Carson. If you want to decide later in life, you know, I'm going to get serious, and I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to be a doctor, you can. You don't have to have your life planned out at second grade. I know there's a recent posting of Arnie Duncan about that. These people are seriously wanting your children to start going to school right after they're born. I mean, talking about extending it, you know, it is awful. It is not right. And, you know, the science, the neuroscience, and that's one thing I love about our new friend from Utah, Joan Landis and Mayor Calamia. You know, they tell us about how the brain works. These children at very young ages need attachment. She says that is something they need so desperately, more than the rigor, right? Kindergarten, first grade, more than being able to, you know their math the way a common course is. They're going to know it, you know, and start off really early so they can be college and career ready. They need that attachment, and the attachment to that good teacher, there's now a wedge, and I hate to see it because I heard the other day, too, here in Alabama, that children are being forced to find that, you know, they cannot even discuss their test, the assessment, with any adult. So can you imagine a parent asking a child and the child sticking to it? What a wedge that is on the parental, you know, the relationship with the parent and child. So this is not good for the child because one thing that Joan did say is when you build up that nurturing, that attachment at younger ages on up, it's going to help that child to be able to self-regulate. So when times of stress comes up, that child knows he's loved, he or she's loved, and can handle the stress. But if you let them keep up with this Common Core approach, which is very negative, very dark for a lot of the books that I have seen, it's not good for the future of this nation. It's going to turn it into a dog-eat-dog world, and we will not stand for that. That is not what the vision of the founders were for their posterity. And I know, Alice, it's not your vision, and it's not mine. So we're going to stand up. We're going to be strong. And thank God for your leadership in this. This is awesome. I love it.
Thank
and
you.
Please go to Alice's website. Alice, would you mind, Women on the Wall, would you mind sharing that in the Voices in Power website?
Yes, it's womenonthewall.org, O-R-G, and then voicesempower, empower.com. And I thank you for the opportunity to be on the call or to be on the show, and look forward to continuing to work together because it's together that we're powerful. And when you look at where we were a year ago and the fact that this anti-Common Core movement has hit a national level in a way that I don't think anyone expected. I think that we have a lot to be thankful for, and God is doing amazing things building his network, and I thank you for being his conduit and doing that daily.
Oh, thank you, Alice. Well, glad to be in the fight with you. We're all together in this. You know, it's about the children and God's gift to us, and Mama Bears and Papa Bears are coming out there.
That's right.
Get ready. So anyway, well, Alice, God bless you. I want to close this in prayer, and listeners, please, if you want to share the podcast, tell your friends, go to www.cityonahill.tv, and please go to Alice. And, hey, they could use some help. So, Alice, do you already have it set up where we could – you know, give some money on PayPal or whatever so that we can help with, you know, the conference?
Definitely. We need all the help that we can get, and you can do that at womenonthewall.org.
Okay. So, guys, you know, I think this is an issue like the abortion issue. You cannot help yourself. You got to give. You got to put your money where your mouth is. We've got to do this for the children's sake. So, please, every one of you, you know, let's give. I know it hurts sometimes to give, but, hey, it's going to hurt worse when we don't make sure that, you know, this fight is at its best. We've got to be at our best. We're going against the Bill Gates, the Arne Duncan, you know, Obama and his initiative is what David Axelrod called Common Core. It's, unfortunately, it's got a lot of their money and a lot of their power, so we have to be united. We have to put you know, resources into this. So please, this conference is coming up really quick. It is June 20th to the 21st. So please go. Go and, you know, let's share. Let's help. Let's put some money into it. So listeners, let's go ahead and give this to God and ask him to bless it. So please join me.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for, what a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to learn about the work that you have put in the hearts of Becca and Alice. And Lord, I just pray blessings over this event on June 20 and 21st. I thank you for what they're doing, empowering us to protect our children and become, like I said, boots on the ground, Heavenly Father. We need to do that. We need to affect parents and teachers. We are fighting for them, and we are fighting for that child that you love so much, Lord. So we ask that you rain in blessings of resources, money overflowing to help with this conference, people coming. Lord, this is a chance. This is a chance to really put the fight against Common Core at such a big national sphere here. So, Lord, I just pray that people, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts, that they will invest time and money to attend the conference in Austin, Texas on June 20 and 21st. And order every detail, every step. Give Becca and Alice all the wisdom that they need, Lord. And we pray the same thing for all the rest of us, Lord, that are trying to fight this Common Core. And, Lord, we thank you. Please bless our soldiers that are fighting wherever they are, trying to keep this nation strong. And, Lord, may God bless Alice and their families and Becca and all these parents, Lord. Help us to continue to focus on the child. We thank you, Lord. And we pray to you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.